Welcome to the TogCast.
Hey, what's up?
We're back.
Irrefutable John and the irredeemable Brian. I don't know.
I don't know about irredeemable.
The deemable Brian?
slightly redeemable Brian. redeemish? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so this is going to be kind of a short one because we don't really have too much crazy nerd news to talk about. And it's been kind of a hellish week. So, some stuff coming up. This Saturday, Doctor Who Day, all five stores, 20% off all Doctor Who. The new Four Doctors mini started this week. Mm-hmm. So make sure you come out and get that.
Who's
and,
on first?
And if you want to get caught up and you don't know anything about Peter Capaldi's Doctor, that season just hit Netflix last week.
Oh, okay.
I've actually already rewatched all of it, but the finale, I'm going to rewatch that probably Sunday. So it's been really good. I've enjoyed it again. It solidified the fact that I really like Capaldi.
Mm-hmm.
The new season starts September 15th. So
stock up on all your Doctor Who goodness. We got comics, a lot of toys. And we definitely have Sonic screwdrivers. So yeah. You can get them and then wave them at the TV along with the new season. And like, yeah. You know, whenever they use it, you can use yours and really geek out.
And use it better than Clara does. Anyway. So next Wednesday, we have a little shindig going on with Xenoscope. They're going to be here to promote the premiere of Van Helsing versus Dracula number 1. They're going to be at Century 3 from 2 to 4 on Wednesday. And then that same day, Wednesday, they will be at the Mills from 6 to 8.
That's right.
The first 20 people to buy the book get a whole bunch of cool free stuff. There's going to be giveaway stuff.
Yeah, lots of swag.
There's just tons of cool stuff, so just make sure you come and check it out. It's going to be great.
And if you are if you're a fan of the Xenoscope or you just want to check it out, we have tons of back issues, tons of variant covers. One of the things I think Xenoscope is really known for is their amazing covers by like tons of different artists.
Oh yeah, like just, if you like J. Scott Campbell, just want to collect cool J. Scott Campbell covers.
That's yeah,
amazing right there. Right there. The art interior is actually really well done as well. It's just. I've just never been a super big fan of their writing.
Yeah.
But I think it's because they're so, it's a lot, it's a huge universe.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to get it, condensed, I think is actually what they're doing. They're doing like a Secret Wars style thing now too, where they're trying to condense down their universe.
Yeah.
But this is like, from what I'm told, this is a really great jumping on point and it'll lead into some of that stuff that's going to go on.
Cool.
So make sure you check it out.
Next Wednesday. Was it the 11th?
19th.
19th, sorry.
Yep. And then next Saturday and Sunday, not this Saturday, Sunday, next Saturday, Sunday, the 22nd and 23rd, the 22nd, there will be a Grand Prix Indianapolis Magic the Gathering tournament at the Mills, $25 entry, standard constructed. And then Sunday, immediately after that, if you miss Saturday, you can go to C3 and do the same exact event.
Or even if you didn't miss the Saturday one.
Yeah, and you want to do both.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2-round buy at Indianapolis. It's standard constructed. It's not that far away. It's also competitive points, so it's the 3-time multiplier.
Hmm.
And then that gets you even more prepped into all of the ones that are coming up in September through November for Pittsburgh,
awesome.
Which would be modern. But... still, you get that multiplier. It helps you with the seating. It's a lot cooler.
It's a good time. I mean, you know.
It is.
Coming out to the Mills, and we got plenty of gaming space. We always have lots of fun. You know,
true.
We have a good Magic community out here as well.
Yep.
So,
me and Dan, hanging out.
Judging up a storm.
Right? That's what we do. So then, the 2 weeks after that, September 5th, Free Graphic Novel Day. Also, Grand Prix Pittsburgh Day at Mills.
Yay.
Sort of. Tons of craziness all over. That Sunday following is Cranberry's Cookout. We just nailed down the stuff for that. So Cranberry, if you haven't been there, is kind of, we'll say tight. It's a little tight on things. So it's, you know, Ken and I have been talking. We want to get some stuff out of the way. So all their T-shirts are $5 that day.
Oh, nice.
We're going to bring in 50 boxes of new dollar books that have never been to Cranberry. So that's 100,000 or I'm sorry, 10,000 comics for buck piece.
Nice.
Plus 20% off all Silver Age, 30% off all back issues, 10% off toys, games, statues. I'm going to cook hot dogs. That's pretty much it. Like, it's going to be a good time. I know they're doing a HeroClix event, and they're going to be doing a Magic event. Those details actually are the only things that are not quite finished yet.
Okay.
It's just nuts. And then after that, it's pretty much Wizard World Pittsburgh.
Right.
So come and hang out for that. We'll be down at David L. Lawrence. It'll be good times. All right. So let's talk about some comics. Let's... Why don't you go first, Brian?
Oh, well, thank you.
You know what? Yeah, you can go first.
All right. So what I'm going to start with, The Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, number 3. So a bit of a setup, and I believe I talked about number 1 in one of our prior podcasts. So I'm not going to get too into detail on that again, but the whole Secret Wars thing, it's not a rehashing of the old Secret Wars. It's a brand new thing.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff happened. The universes were colliding. Doom gets the Beyonder's power, makes a battle world.
Right.
Pieces of all the universes, basically. He salvaged them and made brand new world.
Right.
So out of that spawns a whole bunch of miniseries that are all about 4 to 5 issues each. So Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows is one of them where, in this particular universe and setup,
Brand
the
new
baby,
day never happened.
Yeah. Right. Brand new day, thank God, never happened. And the baby was also never just taken by Norman Osborn and then never talked about again.
Who's this Peter Parker guy? Yeah.
No, what's that?
Who's this Peter Parker guy and why is he dressed like Spider-Man?
Yeah. So the kid's growing up, and she's like about 8, 9, 10,
no,
somewhere around
there. She's going to be a little more. I'd say 10-ish.
Yeah, 10, all right.
I'd say between 10 and 12.
So with the first few issues, the whole point is this guy Regent, the bad guy, has killed off or captured pretty much all the heroes, stolen their powers, and he's kind of like Mimic from the X-Men. He's able to store a whole bunch of them and use them. And so at this, that was in the beginning. That was like when the baby was still young. Well, still a baby, rather. Spider-Man went into hiding, stopped being Spider-Man to protect his family. Jump forward now, and they're worried that because the daughter has powers... spider powers, that she's going to like alert the Regent's constant
right.
vigilance for any kind of metahumans, and so they keep trying to put suppressor stuff on her to hide the powers and all that. Well, crap's gone down in the prior issues,
yep.
And Spider-Man's back in black. He's got the black suit on, not the black suit, but a black suit, and he's not playing games anymore, and he goes out and just... You know, not in case it hasn't been obvious, I'm really enjoying this series. Out of a lot of the Secret Wars spinoffs that aren't that great, this is one I'm really, really enjoying. So, the Regents, for some reason, the Regent
like
really want. Well, I do really like
Spider-Man.
I know. But I also love the Civil War spinoff. That's awesome as well. So, Regent really wants Spider-Man for some reason. Something about his powers is, you know, some sort of key to, like, you get the feeling from some of the panels and stuff that he might not be stable. Like, having all those powers might be doing something, like breaking him down, or he needs constant
infusions. I'm wondering
if it's
because Peter's wasn't a natural power. It was given to him, so it's solidified inside him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm wondering if that's the reason why he's...
That's,
like, anyway.
That's a good... Yeah, no, that's a good... That's probably something to do with it.
Yeah.
So, he goes on this, like, not rampage, but he goes and finds the Tinkerer, I believe it is,
mm-hmm.
and gets him to build or has...
an inhibitor.
Yeah, inhibitor bracelets. And he makes some adjustments to him because they're not that good. So Peter makes some adjustments, that is. And so there it is. And because through detective work of, like, Kraven, basically, he realized, you know, he's able to tell the Regent, look, the reason why Spider-Man's gone is because he's protecting his cub. He's got a child.
Yep.
We need to, and we already know that Spider-Man revealed himself at this particular school. It's got to be there. You know, and so they tell... Regent comes on TV and he's like, okay, parents and children of this particular school precinct, you're all coming in for scanning on this day, no questions asked, you know. And they're like, well, crap. So he's got the bracelet on himself and one on the kid, and they're kind of scared, but he's like, trust me, this is going to work. I know what I'm doing. They walk through the scanner, nothing happens. And he's like, I told you, we're good, you know. But it turns out one of the kids behind them triggers it, like one kid after them. And so they're scared for a second that, oh my God, is it us? The delayed reaction. But, you know, the kid, you know, is scared and they're trying to take him away from his dad. And so Spider-Man runs off and dons the costume, comes back, and he's fighting off against the, you know, the Sinister Six. And, you know, not to spoil anything really, but I have to, because I think this is what most of the fans of this series, if you're enjoying Renew Your Vows, you're probably with me on this, is that we want the kid to kick some ass.
Yeah.
Where there is like a promo shot of her with a sheet and some goggles and gloves, like,
well,
real
she looks like
costume.
Anya. Like when Anya was Spider-Girl, like the very first time she appeared as Spider-Girl.
I remember her wearing like a Peach Together costume.
Yeah,
like
it was like weird, like goggles and like a backpack and stuff. Like when I saw I thought it was Anya. I wonder if that's why they named her Anna.
Yeah.
Because she's Anna May.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is even funnier.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, she's, and it's just this really great shot where it's like she's talking to Mary Jane. She's like, Mom, I want to go help. And she's like, absolutely not. You know, I'm not going to lose you. And then she's like, but you guys always told me I have these powers and to not use them. And Mary Jane's like, would be irresponsible. And then it's like, I would be the most irresponsible parent of all time if I considered for one moment. And then, you know, she's sticking to her guns. But then the bad guys, like just normal human operatives of the Regent, grab the two of them and start tearing them apart. And, you know, you see, like, you know, she's like, Mom, and, you know, Peter. And then she's,
yeah,
that's how it, like, Peter is like, no. Mm-hmm. And you just, like, you know, he's going to go crazy to get to them. And I'm just dying. I want the kid to just rip her little inhibitor bracelet off and go to town. And, like, the two of them fight side by side. And not that she's going to be instant, you know,
amazing
profession.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's going to have the strength. She'll be able to throw some things in. And
I hope
get
they
away.
Curveball it just to kind of weirdly ruin your fantasy. And
oh,
then she gets, like, six arms and the fur and the weird spider mouth.
No, because there was times where she didn't have the bracelet on already.
I know,
so,
but, you know,
spoil sport.
Just because you're so into it, I want you to be like, when fourth issue comes out, I want you to be like, God damn it. Like, what did they do?
Well, okay. So I hope they cancel Doctor Who. How's that, Mr.
Thanks.
I love Doctor
Thanks.
Who.
No, it's cool. No. I was just, you know, I'm just saying.
Is that how we're going down? We're nerd throwing this away?
No, it's fine. No, I was just, yeah.
I know.
I actually really enjoyed that book, too. So I can't, like, I think it would be a cool twist. But I think it would ruin you if it made that twist. I want to see that twist.
Right.
I want to see her like go completely nuts and grow four more arms and just start beating people with them.
Admittedly, that would be kind of cool.
And like rip Shocker in half. Yeah. Like that would be awesome. But it's Marvel, so they probably won't do that.
Well, plus, they could do that in other titles, but I don't think they're going to do that with the daughter of Spider-Man.
Anyway,
daughter of Venom, right. Maybe. But yeah.
Okay. All right. So my next book is Barbed Wire number 2.
With the gorgeous
Adam Hughes covers. Every single issue has got a great Adam Hughes cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's 50-50 with Pat Olef's cover, who's actually the guy doing the interiors, who's from Pittsburgh. He's a really cool dude. Chris Warner is the writer for this.
When you say 50-50, you mean it's 50%, like the
half
covers.
Half the covers come Adam Hughes, half the covers come Pat
Olef. I just want to clarify because you almost made it sound like 50-50, as in they're good 50-50.
Well, depending on how you like, if you like Adam Hughes over Pat Olef, they're 50. No, it's how they ship is half covers are this, half covers are that, and you never know how many they're actually going to get. Depends on how many of the store ordered.
Mm-hmm.
So this book has just been, if you like butt-kicking ladies who are drawn well. They are not drawn super feminist. They are not drawn awkwardly, ridiculously shaped. And it's very, like, dirty, gritty, street level. If you like the Daredevil TV show, this book is for you. Because she just comes in kicking butt. She's like a bounty hunter. And, like, there's this weird bad guy throughout the thing who's named Wavern Stormblood, and he thinks he's a god.
Of course he does.
Right? So he keeps, like, he, like, breaks out of jail and all this stuff and beats her up and all this crazy stuff's going on, and, you know, he's just being crazy, and they leave her bike there so she's mad. And then, like, you cut to this other scene where she's, like, back in her office, and she's, like, just chilling with, like, a Slayer shirt and just, like, ice in her face down because she got punched by Wavern.
Yeah.
And her blind brother, who's like the crazy tech guy, is just like talking to her about stuff. And one of the like mob bosses in the area comes in to talk to her and basically is like, you know, you need to keep this guy off the thing or else you're never going to finish your, you're never going to have the money for your bar and, you know, you're going to ruin your thing and da da da. And, like, she says something, where is it? So, like, she's like, you better watch it because people are going to put you on. This is great. Snap Insta chat face or some damn thing. Nice. Kids in Tokyo know where you're at. And he just kind of goes nuts and just like pounds the bar and it shatters like a good 6 feet of bar. Like that's how strong this dude is. And then he just wails, like just makes it rain hundreds. And he's like, buy yourself something nice and pieces out. And she's just like, don't say anything. And then she talks like another mob boss dude. It's like, it's just really good and like down and dirty and gritty and sort of noir-y and like, I just
Pamela
really...
Anderson influence, right?
No, well, like, if you like the movie, you'll like the book too.
Oh, okay.
But the movie was a little more sex appeal than like butt-kicking dirty bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. This is like, if Dog the Bounty Hunter was a hot blonde.
Mm. Okay.
And like, I guess for some people he might be a hot blonde. A female. If Dog the Bounty Hunter was female.
Right.
This is the book for you.
I think you may have just turned readers away, but all right.
But it's really good. Like, it's just really, you know, a lot of, it's this great, like, noir-y and just very... like butt kicking, and I can't explain. Like, I don't want to give too much away about it because it's like very, the plot line's pretty intricate because deals with like a lot of different gangs in the city that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so good and well written.
That's cool.
And like all of the art is tight and makes sense, and it's like if you were watching a female bounty hunter on TV, like that's what you would. This is what you would want to see.
Cool. Okay.
So, I liked it.
Awesome.
I liked it a lot. Check it out. Barbed Wire, number 2. Number 1 still on the shelf. Great Adam Hughes covers.
Nice.
If you're an Adam Hughes collector.
All right. So, my choice.
This is going to be crazy. I can't wait for this.
So, I chose Grimm Fairy Tales.
And Joe's in the room, too. This is going to be weird. If he hears you,
oh no,
he might come over.
Robin Hood.
That's
number
13. Hood.
By the illustrious Xenoscope. I figured it'd be a good lead-in for the fact that we have them coming in next Wednesday, you know.
Well, Van Helsing's on the cover.
Yeah, and Van Helsing is in it, actually.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, she's getting her own title, I guess. Basically, it's how it's spinning off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now being number 13, I don't really know anything about these characters. Like, in you know, okay, other than the fact that one's called Robin Hood and the other one's, you know, they're both girls and one's Van Helsing. So apparently there's some sort of vampire. I don't know why Robin Hood is a vampire hunter, but there's some sort of vampire that is killing people.
Maybe she's
and posting.
Just helping Robin Hood.
No, well, that's what I mean. But Robin Hood is like this. This is a Robin Hood book, so she's the centerpiece of the story.
Yeah, but I'm saying like maybe that's she just happens to be because she's
no,
because
she's apparently got experience doing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's a vampire that's like killing people and like posting pictures of it on like Instagram as art. You know,
nice.
But they're clearly dead, and like they keep getting shut down, of course. But he keeps redoing mm-hmm. accounts, and it's like it's supposed to be like they call him like Still Life, and it's like Still Life number 6, and it's like this dead guy all bleeding out with like Keep It Safe written on the wall.
Yeah.
So anyway, apparently starts out with like the end of a party that was at Robin Hood's place apparently, and she gets like a text message and that says, "Hey, you know about this stuff, this killings." So she gets pulled in to try and figure out exactly what is going on with who this guy is, like who's killing these people like this. And so she calls on Van Helsing for help because normally she even says, she's like, normally I would just, because she found some dude that is cheating on his wife by going to vampire hookers.
Oh.
And like, so I guess to some degree she's some sort of private investigator too. I don't know. But so that is like, so when that, she realized that she could use that. Mm-hmm. So she never thought to follow him to the nest. So she did, because she can shake down the vampires to learn about the one that's doing this, this stuff. So she calls on Van Helsing because she's like, you know, normally I would just go in guns a-blazing, basically, well, arrows a-blazing, as it were, and, you know, kill everything if I could. Mm-hmm. So maybe I should have a plan. So the two of them go in, and even though Van Helsing's plan is basically the exact same thing.
Right.
It's just now there's two of them. So they go in, and they say, hey, you know, we don't want to kill you. And then Van Helsing's like, well, and she's like, okay, granted, we do want to kill you, but we want we don't have to right now. We want to get information.
Right.
And she's like, you tell us, you know,
what's going on before
the Eternal or something like that. We won't, there won't be no staking or whatever. Right. And they're like, oh, screw you out, that we can just eat you. And then they attack and they kick their asses. The girl, the good girls kill like most of the vampires.
Yeah.
And then one of them like pops a pair of wings. And Robin Hood's like, when the hell do vampires get wings? And Van Helsing's like, that's not a vampire. You know, so it's basically, it's a succubus.
Ooh.
And she's their pimp. She's the madam of the vampire hookers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, she stops them and throws them around real quick. And she's like, we've done enough. There's enough killing. I lost four of my girls.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're the one who went all bitey and she's like fangy. And she's like, this form is more durable and you guys are crazy. So, you know, she tells them what they want. But throughout the book, you see that they're being led around, you know. So it's there's like a big fight at the end with a cliffhanger. So apparently whoever the Eternal or whatever the guy's name is gets the drop on him.
Right.
And knocks him out, and that's how it ends. The artwork's decent. The story is meh. You know, it's not horrible, but, you know, I'm also at a disadvantage by jumping into a 13, you know, which I've done before. So right. I can't hold all of it against them because I don't know certain
stuff. It sounds like the writing has gotten better since last time I've read a
There was Grim some fun, funny stuff, and there was that's some, good. Like, you know, but yeah, it's like.
The art looked fantastic as you were flipping through. I was like, wow. So that's good.
So
though.
Yeah, I mean, it's and I think the fact that they're spinning off Van Helsing, you know, that actually does tie into the signing next week. It probably is going to be a good time for you to come in if you're a fan and buy up number one, get some free stuff, and get a jumping on point.
Yeah, there you go.
For a pretty cool and hot character. She wears this weird, like
steampunk
leather S&M type of like Boost J that's got like Harley Quinn colors. It's like red and black. And
yeah,
like,
there was okay, someone whatever. That came in cosplay as Van Helsing last year to the C3 show. I was like, wow.
Okay, you're brave.
In real life, that totally looks really good. So, yeah, that's cool. All right, so my next book is King. This is by Josh Fialkoff and Bernard Chang. Josh Fialkoff, Three Rivers Comic Con, coming up next year from Monroeville originally.
What happened?
My mic just died.
His mic died. Hang on. What's
going on? There we go. Okay. I don't know what's going on there. But all right, so this book, it's like kind of like post-apocalyptic-ish, and there's one human left, and they call him King. And he lives in Los Angeles, and he works for like this place that hunts down these certain kind of aliens, and they kind of look like Starro. So like these Starro dudes have taken over the pantheon of gods, and he's like beating their faces in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And then there's like these weird, what do they call them? Like cross-species hybrid guys. So like there's this guy with a duck head, a giant like furry body, and then his bottom half is a four-wheeler.
Okay, then.
Yeah, and his name's Louis.
Sure it is.
Yeah, and he beats the hell out of that guy. And like he gets to work, and he works with this other mutant, and they're looking for this seed so that they can replant the earth and get it back on track the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to where this like signal came to say the life seed is here. So he goes in there. There's a giant mech bear, which is great. Karate Robot Bear is actually what it is called.
That's kind of funny.
I love it.
Oh, that's right. That's the one.
And he shoots gas from his giant bear nipples.
Which, yeah, I saw that when I was slipping through. That's crazy.
And you were just like, what?
Nipple gas? What?
Right? And he wakes up. And he has found Queen, and Queen is his sister.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so they're the last two humans. And then, so the next time, like the continued in the next issue teaser, just says, more karate robot bears, also fighting. Like, I love his humor. I love everything that Fyalkoff does. Like, he writes it really well. This is a number one. This is actually the last copy of this on the shelf at the Mills, but it's Jet City Comics. It's really cool. Check it out. I really enjoy it. Definitely dig it. If you like Bunker, if you like Life After, this is the book to check out. Like,
the artwork
his next
looked cool
book.
As I was flipping through and watching.
Yeah,
as well.
Bernard Chang actually did the. He was one of the guys that did the artwork on Green Lantern Corps.
Nice.
So very cool. Like, it's very vibrant too.
Yes. Yeah.
Which
definitely.
Is great. The art's phenomenal. All right. So with.
Do you want to switch out or something?
I don't know. I'm just going to try to not mess with how I'm holding this. All right, some books that came out this last week. So they would have came out on the 12th. Ape Sapien 25, Action Comics 43, Adam 3, number 1. Eight Forest 3, Amazing Spider-Man 20, America Town, number 1. Arcadia 4, Archon 1, Arrow Season 2.5, number 11, Astronauts in Trouble 3, Batman 34, Bill and Ted's Most Triumphant Return 6, Bloodshot Reborn 5, Boy-1, number 1, Catwoman 43, Clarence 3, Critter 2, DC Bombshells, number 1, which has actually been selling pretty well in most of the stores. This really awesome Bleeze statue, and I don't think Ryan got it because it's awesome. They got it in Cranberry. It is huge. If you like Red Lanterns and you like Bleeze, it's freaking cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I may have to get it. I may have to take a picture of it and try to have Joe buy it. I don't know. Doctor Who 14, or Doctor Who number 10, 14, Doctor Who 11, 15, Doctor Who 4th Doctor's number, or the 4 Doctor's number 1, 11th Doctor 15, 10th Doctor 14. Some Dorbs,
which I don't think we have.
Yeah, they're not that cool.
Some of them are. I got a free one, the Ultron, that's like, yeah, that you can only get from the Marvel Collector Corps.
Yeah, they're okay.
That was cool, but
yeah, they're like a different kind of pop vinyl.
Yeah.
Earth 2 Society number 3, Ellingtonville number 2, Ellingtonville Club number 2, Empire Uprising 4, Eternal Star Soulfire number 2. G.I. Joe Snake Eyes Agent of Cobra Trade came out. That's kind of cool. Ghost Racers 3, Gotham Academy 9. Grant Morrison's 18 Days number 2. Green Arrow 43. Harrow County 4. Hero Cat 7. Howard the Duck 5. Imperium 7. Inhumans Andalod Rising 4. JLA Gods and Monsters number 1. Justice Inc. Avenger number 3. Justice League United 12. King Tiger number 1, Mandrake the Magician 3, Korvac Saga 3, Lantern City 4, Letter 4419, Masks 2, Masters of Kung Fu 4, Max Ride First Light 5, Mice Templar versus Knights End number 4, Mrs. Deadpool and the Howling Commandos 3, My Little Pony Friendship Forever Volume 4, New Suicide Squad number 11, Orphan Black 5, Planet Hulk 5, Popeye 27, Rebels 5, Red Hood and Arsenal 3, Rain 5, Savior 5, Scooby-Doo 60, Secret Wars 5, Secret Wars 2099 number 4, Secret Wars Battlefield number 4. This is a huge week, jeez. Section 8 number 3, Shrinking Man number 2, Sleepy Hollow Province 1, Star Trek Green Lantern number 2, which I'm super excited for. Star Wars Lando number 2, Starfire number 3, Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde 2, String Divers 1, Swords of Sorrow 4, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl 8, Unity 21, Walking Dead action figures, really? More of them? X-Files Season 11 number 1, Exo Manowar 39, and Years of Future Past 4. So, if you're an Exo bro, come on out this week. Again, all those are always available, ndcomics.com, new releases tab. We've also added a new tab called Gaming Events. So, if you missed any of those Grand Prix trials that you want to check out, go there. That's where we put all of our bigger gaming events. If we get a Pokemon pre-release, it'll be put on there. If we get a Yu-Gi-Oh! Sneak peek, that's where it goes. All right, so really the only thing I want to talk about, and I want to talk about this for like 5 minutes. I haven't seen it yet, but the reviews of Fantastic Four are so terrible.
Yep. So that your eyes will melt out of your... It's like opening the Ark of the Covenant from whatever people are saying.
So I'm at C3 the other day, and we are trying to figure out movies that are worse than Fantastic Four, rated on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm.
It took us like 40 titles to find one that was worse. Dude, Swamp Thing got a better one.
Wow.
Man-Thing got better.
Oh, I used to have Man-Thing.
I have Man-Thing on DVD.
I used to have it on DVD as well.
I bought it at Baltimore last year for like $5. Ghost Dad, I think, was it was either slightly better or slightly worse. I'm going to double check that one because now I really want to check it out.
Ghost Dad, that's a horrible Bill Cosby movie.
Yeah.
Funny premise, but they just did not do it well.
Oh, God. Why can't you go to the thing I want?
But, yeah, it's been like, I know it's actually gained more ground on Robin and Batman and Robin. Like, Batman and Robin.
Is it better now?
No, I mean, like, it lost ground, rather. Like, for a while there, it was like 11% for Batman and Robin and 10% for Fantastic Four. I think that dropped to like
8%. Okay. Fantastic Four is now at 8. Eight. Okay.
That's horrible.
Okay. So, Batman and Robin's at 11. But we're going to do. We're going to check out Batman Forever. Which, so of all the Batman films, the worst one was Batman and Robin.
Right.
It had an 11%.
Mm-hmm.
So, Freeze is cooler than Doctor Doom.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Ghost Dad.
Okay, Ghost Dad. Here we go. Ghost Dad. Ghost Dad. All right, you ready? Okay, Ghost Dad is 1% worse.
7% worse rating. Wow.
Okay, okay, Brian. So we're gonna play this game for.
I actually saw Ghost Dad in the theater.
I did too. I like Bill Cosby. Yeah. I thought it wasn't that. I didn't think it was that bad of a movie. But
later
watching it, I'm like, wow, that was a pretty bad movie. All right, come on, Dwayne. Here we go. We're gonna play this game.
Okay. I don't know.
Give me a really terrible movie, Brian.
Because
I can tell you, like, Masters of the Universe is better.
Right. I'm blanking it like all of a sudden. Like,
Daredevil is better. Elektra is better.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's
Elektra.
Yeah, that's impressive. Catwoman is that better?
Oh, Catwoman I think is actually worse. Hold on. And Catwoman is better.
Nine.
Catwoman is better than Fantastic Four.
Oh my God. That's insane.
Catwoman. With the Halle Berry's.
Yeah. Oh.
Better by 1%.
I'm trying to think of really bad. The thing is, I don't, like, most of the movies I watch, not that they're all great or something, but it's like.
But you don't consider them bad movies.
Well, there's that, but it's like, I don't, the ones that, you know, I don't see the ones that everyone says are just.
Oh, hold on.
Like,
here we go. Dragon Ball.
Evolution. Oh, no.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to take bets for higher or lower?
Oh, it's got to be higher.
I'm saying higher.
I'm saying like 10 or something.
And 14.
Oh, wow.
I
the only
this
good
game.
Thing in that movie was Yamcha.
Piccolo was cool. He just wasn't spot on, but he was cool. Yamcha was the best, most spot on character.
Yes, absolutely.
I will agree with you. So,
like, he even sounded like Yamcha in a couple scenes. I was like, wow, awesome.
Right.
And, like, I mean, and whatever, whoever played Bulma, I can't remember her name is.
Yeah, she didn't do bad either.
Well, she's just hot.
But, oh, well,
and
there
so
you
is
go.
Jamie Chung, but
yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't save the movie.
Okay, hold on. We're going to go Street Fighter.
Oh, Street Fighter.
You ready?
Oh, Super Mario Brothers. We got to do that next.
Oh, okay. So, Street Fighter, 12%.
Wow.
Street Fighter, Legend of Chun-Li, though.
Oh, with, what's her face?
Kristen Kruk?
Yeah.
6%. So that movie is worse than Fantastic Four.
It wasn't. It wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad. My God! All right, Super Mario.
All right, Super Mario Brothers. Here we go. Super Mario. Ready?
Yeah.
You're thinking lower. I'm gonna say it's probably better. I'm going to bet at you it's better.
I'm going to say it's like no higher than 9.
Okay. And
16. What?
Yeah. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. Like our register system got screwed up and it had to do a recovery at the end of the night. Okay. So this is what we did while it was doing the recovery. We were just like, well, give me a bad movie. Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. There was some, like, we could not find anything super, super terrible. Like, it was really hard to find stuff that was worse. Let's try RoboCop 3.
Okay.
Because RoboCop 1 and 2, actually pretty good.
Right.
Oh, okay. So RoboCop 1, like regular one, 88.
Okay.
RoboCop Reboot number 1, 49. RoboCop 2, 32. RoboCop 3.
3%.
3%.
That is insane.
And they don't have... I guess there really wasn't a 4. I thought there was a 4.
Oh, I got a okay. movie. Okay. This used to be a guilty pleasure. I have since traded in. Corky Romano.
Oh!
I used to have that for a while. It was fun, but yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to say better.
It's going to be better.
And
6? Worse. What?
Yes!
Oh, man. Poor Corky.
Oh, man.
Okay, then I got one more. One more guilty pleasure that I've gotten rid of. Okay. Little Nicky. The Adam Sandler movie everybody hates.
I think this is either going to be on par or slightly better.
Same. That's what I'm saying.
22.
Wow. What? That's better than
Little Nicky. Better than Fantastic Four.
Wow.
Oh.
Of course, we have to keep this in perspective, though. We're talking 16s and 22%, so that's just
still not
trash.
Very good.
Yeah. But I think at that
I'm
point
gonna double
we're
check the man thing one.
Yeah, at this point we're getting to like. High
man,
def, you know, it's
man
like
hyphen thing.
The you know your human eye can't really tell the difference between like 1080p and like whatever.
Man thing, 17%.
Wow.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna look at the other Fantastic Fours just so we have a comparison.
Okay. Now see the first the real Fantastic Four with Jessica
Alba.
Alba, that's got to be like in the 20s.
I agree. I bet it's in the 20s.
Because I still enjoy that. For the most part.
The
second one might be lower. Silver Surfer
one. All right. Hold on. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay, 8%
all right.
Versus
37 for Rise of the Silver Surfer, 27 for the first one.
What? How can people think that Rise of the Surfer was better?
I thought it was better.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hated the fact that they made Johnny into freaking Super Skrull. That made no sense whatsoever.
I just really hated the fact that they like really screwed up Galactus. So
yeah,
and
well,
there was
yeah.
no point in having Doom in that movie at all.
Right.
So okay, so here comes the question, and then we'll be done here. So the question is, like, does it get those so low ratings, and now you just want to go see it to see really how bad it is, or are you totally like, I'm just gonna wait for dollar theater?
I just don't want to see it. Period. I don't ever want to see it. Like,
they're doing a sequel. They greenlit a sequel.
They can't.
They greenlit a sequel, Brian.
But not.
I'm not even joking.
They greenlit Amazing Spider-Man 3, and that got canceled.
Yeah.
So the second one will get canceled.
Yeah.
There's no way with the box office performance that they're gonna actually go through with the second one.
I know. Like so the first weekend out, they made $25 million.
Was like 100 and some million.
There's $120 million to make this movie. They made not even a quarter of their money back.
And with movies, you can't, like, just breaking even is not even close to breaking even. So
yeah.
If they made $125 million the first weekend, it would not have been broken even.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So, really, they needed to make, like, $180 million, I think, to actually break even.
Probably
is
somewhere
like
in there.
What I think I read somewhere. So, like, they're, like, I don't know what Fox is doing, but.
Well, I mean.
But I heard, like. Okay, so I was talking to somebody in Cranberry about this the other day, and they were like, it was so bad that when you saw The Thing, depending on the scene, he was a different size. He was either, like, ripping a tank apart huge, or he's 2 inches taller than Reed, or he's as wide as the hallway they're in, or he's, like, tall and lanky, and he's naked the whole time.
Right.
So it's a little weird.
Yeah.
But they said, like, the chemistry between Johnny and Sue was terrible. They said the like basically the only good thing I heard about the whole movie is the guy that played Reed Richards was good. Everybody else was lackluster, or you could tell that they were they're acting very well, but the script was just crap.
Yeah.
Like, and that I think the idea, I think this movie is going to. Oh, I got a movie to compare to, so that I can do this. So I feel that this movie is going to end up with like Superman Returns, which I'm going to look up right now.
Okay.
For that one.
It stopped doing something there.
Oh, come on. Superman Returns. It's probably not going to find it because I think I used too many. I put a space where I shouldn't. And like Green Lantern. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where it's going to be.
Settle at?
Yeah. Like where people are going to be like, well, it was a good try and the acting was good, but the script was just poop.
Yeah.
You know? And so, actually, why is this taking so long?
Yeah, because I mean,
all right, like, hold on. I'm gonna look up all the Superman.
Like,
it's just gonna be.
In the beginning, you know, everyone was freaking out about the race change for Johnny,
which I really didn't care about. Except like they better have explained it. And then I heard like literally the explanation was, oh, by the way, they're adopted siblings, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like they didn't talk about it at all. It was literally just exactly how I did it. I was like,
right,
what?
And that's like, but here's the thing. I think if that had been the only change, it could have flown. But
right.
It changed everything.
Okay.
Origin and how things happen.
Superman 3.
Yeah.
Got a 26.
Okay.
Okay.
Superman Returns was right there somewhere.
Was it?
Yeah, it was right where you were.
Hold on. All right, Superman 4. 12.
It's the Quest for Peace, wow.
The Quest for Peace.
There it is.
76? Superman Returns, 76. Because it was really good acting with a crappy type of thing.
Okay.
All right, so now we're going to do Green Lantern. Just to compare.
Okay.
Because everybody always gives this movie crap, and
it wasn't really that good.
The acting was really good. It's just the script was so bad. 26%.
26, yeah.
So.
But I don't know. Like, Reynolds was good, but he really, to me, like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Green Lantern, so I can't speak to it.
Okay.
But I don't think Hal Jordan is supposed to be this funny guy, right?
He comes off as cocky, and that's kind of how he's supposed to be.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's just like a really cocky test pilot, which is what he does.
Yeah.
He maybe is a little too humory, but I think that was fine considering, like, Blake Lively was an excellent Carol Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
The guy playing Hector Hammond was really good. The guy playing Sinestro was amazing.
Yes, I'll grant you that. He looked
every other member of the Green Lantern Corps was well done.
Mm-hmm.
Even Badge was showed up, you know,
right.
Randomly. But they didn't do anything with them.
Right.
It was like, we're going to train you. And
send you back
right, 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 right. Yeah. And then Sinestro's not even going to be your partner. Yeah, I was like, what is going on? Like, that's the only reason I didn't. Like, those were the big things I hated about the movie. And Parallax was terrible.
Right.
They ruined that character. And like, everybody's like, oh, we want to see Parallax. No, you want to see Hal Jordan as Parallax. You don't want to see Parallax, which is the problem with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You never got to see him take over him and become, like, the crazy, giant teeth, bitey guy,
mm-hmm.
You know. But that's pretty much it. So now I'm, like, really curious to see Fantastic Four because of this.
Right.
Just so that I personally can compare to it. Chip liked it.
Really?
But and Chip doesn't like anything. So, like,
that's
it's very hard for me to take him seriously unless for him, this is his Green Lantern. Like, for
right.
me, I love Green Lantern so much that I wanted that movie to be good. And I was like, oh, it's really good. I like it. And then eventually I was like, okay, reality check
in.
Yeah. It's not great.
That's how I was with Transformers.
It's good.
Yeah.
It just wasn't great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I think because he likes the thing and, you know, it's one of those things that he
right.
wants it. And, like, Doctor Doom's one, like, my all-time favorite villain of
yep.
all time.
Mm-hmm. He's one of my top.
I have heard they just annihilated this character
yep.
and made it terrible.
Well, he looks ridiculous. Have you seen
yeah.
the screenshot? He's just
yeah.
like a little beady-eyed something.
He's like a robot almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's all I got. I just wanted to put that out
there.
That
was fun. That was a
yeah.
nice little ending to it.
Yeah, I really kind of want to see this now so I can give you a full-blown, terrible review. They didn't even give screener tickets out because they didn't want reviewers to give it bad reviews and then no one go see it. Like, this is, like, you know it's bad
when they don't do that. They've done
it,
yeah. I remember
you know it's bad when Stan Lee won't do a cameo either.
Oh, didn't he?
Nope.
Awesome.
No Stan.
And yet he's in Deadpool.
Yep.
So it's not about Fox.
It's not about Fox.
He must have been like, I made these guys and you... screwed them up. Royally.
Unless it's because they were trying to go so hard toward the Ultimate version that maybe they wanted Brian Michael Bendis to be in it. But Brian Michael Bendis, I haven't heard any. I personally have not just like gone out and looked to see what his point of view was. Right. But I would like to know.
Yeah. And it could have been like maybe they cut the cameo.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Unless we know for a fact.
I don't think he did. I just don't think he did one.
Right.
So. But anyway, that's all we got. So join us next time.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, if you find any more terrible movies than Fantastic Four, please put them, post them on our Facebook. Like, let us know how they rate. Like, I like this game. It's kind of fun.
It was very fun.
So, yeah. So let us know, guys. All right. Bye.
Bye.